It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We dig into the reach of tech giant Amazon, its hiring and its facility plans in Wisconsin, and the new federal lawsuit alleging it has monopoly powers that harm consumers. Now let's focus on the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. I'm here with Sheila Shigley. Hi, Sheila.
Hello, Kate.
You count on WPR for these interesting discussions, and it's your gift of any amount that makes these conversations possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And to kick things off this hour, we have a goal of 15 gifts. These hourly goals are really important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep your favorite programs going strong on WPR. So give now. You can do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A large slice of funding for WPR programs, and in fact, the biggest slice, is that listener support. So while all of our funding sources, state, federal, businesses, they're important, of course, but it's your contribution, you, who makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing and the varied service that it is thanks to your support. So let's keep independent, high-quality programs on the air when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And many listeners become donors out of a sense of shared commitment because you think of WPR as a resource that should be available to all, and because you yourself have been getting value out of it over the past year or two or 20
decades.
It is time to put something back in.
Indeed, make a donation for yourself and for all of the community. The amount is up to you, but the important thing is that you participate. Make your first ever gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I especially like the talk shows. Just having a host and a guest isn't good enough for me. I really like the interaction, and I have called in, but very rarely. I just enjoy hearing other people call in and share information. It's a wonderful source of news for me. I'm Barbara Gilmore from Grafton, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for all my news about our world.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer Kent here with Sheila Shigley. Your support in this fall member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month right now, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
We know you value your time. It's a busy world. We value your time, too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio really does just take a few minutes. We just need your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
It is quick and easy, and your gift now, it really helps. So take the next few minutes to support the station you count on each day at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And our goal is 15 gifts this hour. This goal is so important. It's set up to make sure we have the funding we need for the programs you rely on, like the morning show. Mm-hmm. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And focus our attention here to the new WPR belt bag. You can call it a fanny pack or a crossbody pack, whatever you prefer to call it. It is the perfect way to carry your essentials and to show off your support for WPR. You can ask for yours when you give $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's really easy to set up. It's convenient. Ongoing monthly donations will come from your bank account or your credit card, your choice. You can get started at WPR.org. You can also see a picture of the fanny pack, belt bag, etc. Mm-hmm. there. It's really fun. You can also call 888-202-2552. 2552.
We heard from Dave in Palo Alto, California, says, I never fail to learn something useful for my day or week from the morning show and all of our guests we have on. Well, join Dave and make your gift now. It is powerful. It truly helps. It makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks so much. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As retailers hire seasonal workers, we examine Amazon's power and the tech giant's plans in Wisconsin. A new federal lawsuit our state is a part of charges Amazon with unfair business practices that stifle competition and raise prices for consumers. You can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. Add your perspective. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Eugene Kim is Chief Tech Correspondent at Business Insider. Eugene, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, Wisconsin and 16 other states, part of this Federal Trade Commission lawsuit. Lay it out for us here. How does this suit say Amazon is using illegal business practices?
Yeah, so the FTC is alleging largely two anti-competitive behaviors against Amazon. First one is they're saying Amazon keeps prices artificially high by using anti-discounting measures. So they basically punish sellers who offer lower prices on other online marketplaces like Walmart, for example. So if someone sells the same pen at a lower price on Walmart, then that product on Amazon, it gets buried, and that seller basically loses all sales on Amazon.
So basically, Amazon uses that tactic then if that business puts its product on a different site for a lower price, there is some retaliatory action by Amazon?
Right, that's what FTC is alleging. And the sellers can't drop the price on Amazon because it's expensive to sell on Amazon. They have to buy, they have to use Amazon's, you know, storage and delivery network. They have to buy ads on Amazon. The FTC estimates almost half of the seller's revenue goes to Amazon, but these sellers have no choice but not, you know, to sell on Amazon because it's the biggest e-commerce platform in the U.S.
But Eugene, Amazon has this reputation that, you know, we expect it to offer the lower price than another retailer that is selling the same item. But you say the FTC is arguing that consumers are paying higher prices because Amazon is manipulating the market. Can you explain those dynamics more?
Yeah. So the reason Amazon does this is because they want to have the lowest price in the market. But then the sellers, they have to keep their prices high on Amazon than other places because the delivery fees, the fulfillment service they use through Amazon, those are expensive. And without using those services, they lose good placement on Amazon's site. And that's the kind of the second part of the FTC's lawsuit. They say Amazon forces sellers to pay for these additional services like delivery and storage, and that locks the sellers into Amazon's platform, and effectively that cost trickles down to the consumers.
What could happen to Amazon if the lawsuit is ruled in favor of states and the Federal Trade Commission?
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of future implications, right? It could hurt the company's growth. You know, the number of sellers could drop. The product selection can also decrease. It'll hurt their stock performance, hiring. But, you know, these things typically take years to complete. So it's really, you know, it'll take some time to find out.
Let's turn to Amazon's workforce. They say they're hiring more than 4,000 full-time seasonal and part-time positions here in Wisconsin. What do current workers say about the workplace culture there?
Well, I mean, it depends on who you ask, but you know, fairly or not, Amazon has a reputation of having a tough workplace culture. Right? They're very data-centric. They track every performance metric possible. And, you know, many workers, they say it's stressful to work there, both on the corporate side and, you know, for the frontline workers at these warehouses. You know, there's been a lot of complaints, lawsuits, negative news reports highlighting the grueling working conditions, most notably warehouse workers not having time to even take bathroom breaks or delivery drivers having to pee in water bottles, right? So these are all major problems facing Amazon. But again, depending on who you ask, there are people who like this cutthroat, you know, performance-driven culture. And, you know, to be honest, like just looking at Amazon's performance, their business results, there's no question that whatever Amazon's doing, it's working very well.
We're discussing the reach of Amazon as the company faces pressure from regulators. It ramps up hiring, seasonal hiring in Wisconsin. Eugene Kim is with us, chief tech correspondent for Business Insider, who covers Amazon. You can join in with your questions, your comments along the way, 800-642-1234. So Amazon seeking to build two more distribution centers here in Wisconsin. How much do Amazon's distribution centers help local economies?
Well, I mean, it creates a lot of jobs. I think the estimate is around 4,000 new jobs coming. You know, Amazon, I think their average hourly pay is around a little over $20 an hour, which is significantly higher than the minimum federal wage or what most states offer. Amazon has almost 1.5 million employees around the world. So in terms of job creation, I think they do a very good job.
There was a recent report on Marketplace that Amazon is staffing up much more than other retailers for the holiday season. Are Amazon's forecasts on holiday shopping different from projections that are coming out of, say, Target or Kohl's?
Well, Amazon is, I think the investors largely expect Amazon to bounce back this year. Last year, Amazon's performance was largely, you know, a little disappointing for many investors after the COVID kind of supercharged growth period. There was a slowdown phase where they didn't live up to expectations. And so they went through a lot of, you know, cost cuts and scale back, a lot of projects, hiring freeze. And so it was a very difficult position, period. But in its most recent quarter, Amazon's growth reaccelerated. It became profitable again. So, you know, I think Wall Street is feeling a little better about it.
You had reported that the former CEO, Jeff Bezos, once told employees that Amazon is not too big to fail. How does the current CEO, Andy Jassy, view the future of Amazon?
Well, for Jassy, he kind of stepped in to his position at the, you know, the most challenging period of the company. I mean, the last 2 years, it's been a very turbulent and challenging time for him. You know, going back to COVID, you know, Amazon grew very rapidly, but then in 2021-22 period, that growth significantly slowed down. Jassy had to kind of oversee the whole scale back of expansion plans. He had to clean up a lot of aggressive pandemic expansion plan they had, which led to high turnover. A lot of long-term executives left the company, and some employees and investors were even calling for Jeff Bezos to come back as CEO. And on top of that, now Jassy has to deal with this FTC lawsuit. You know, and he needs to also prove that he's a visionary leader like Bezos was. You know, doesn't get the same type of tolerance from investors that, you know, he could spend on new ventures and invest on growth. Jassy doesn't get that same luxury, at least for now. And so he's being very cautious with a lot of, you know, new projects in grocery or personal devices. But he's still, you know, selectively choosing growth areas in healthcare, Prime Video, streaming content. And the results are starting to show, like I said, in the most recent quarter, they turned it around. And so I think investors, most analysts, investors are still pretty upbeat about it.
So, Eugene, you cover the ins and outs of Amazon. What news developments will you be following in the coming months? What should we be aware of?
Yeah, for corporate employees, I think the biggest concern right now is the return to office mandate. Amazon in February announced that all corporate workers have to come back, be in the office at least 3 times a week. That upset a lot of people who were initially hired as remote employees. There's been a lot of confusion. Amazon kind of poorly executed this. And in August, they announced that employees have to relocate closer to where their team is. Otherwise, they'll, you know, effectively get fired. So this is kind of the biggest controversy within the company right now.
Eugene, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Eugene Kim is Chief Tech Correspondent at Business Insider. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're with us for The Morning Show, and the fall member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio is underway. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Sheila Shigley is here. Listeners, and that means you, are here as well, and you provide the largest source of funding at WPR. This drive is your chance to support all the great programs you appreciate. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this hour, we have a goal of 15 gifts. Thank you so much if you've already given.
And if you haven't yet, join in now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift makes the programs you value possible.
In the last segment, we got an inside glimpse into Amazon, a company that probably affects all of our lives one way or another. What did you think of it? Why does it merit listener support? We get these deep dives into things in our lives we wouldn't otherwise learn a lot about or not in the same way. These are the kinds of conversations you can count on from Wisconsin Public Radio.
WPR is listener supported, and it means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics you join us for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Now that you've made the decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio, you might be looking for the best way to make that gift. The answer is become a sustainer. You decide on a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or credit card. You set it up to be ongoing.
And a sustaining gift is awesome. It is a really powerful way of donating because it provides that consistency, right? That reliable funding for the programs you count on year-round. You make an easy-to-pay monthly gift, and these donations add up to have a really big impact for WPR. So choose an amount, say $10 or $20 a month, and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive, let WPR help you keep up with the latest fashion trends. Ask for your WPR belt bag when you give $10 a month for the programs you rely on. How would you use your WPR belt bag?
How wouldn't I use it?
I'd keep snacks in my WPR belt bag.
Could be used as a fanny pack.
To hold all the accoutrement of my life.
You could just put it off the side on your hip if you're so inclined. Either hip would work, left or right.
I'd use my WPR belt bag when I travel. All my important stuff right there on my waist, quick and easy to grab.
It's a great chance to be fashion forward.
I would pack the WPR belt bag with treats for my lovely yet energetic dog, Bernadette, when we, I hope she's not listening here, go for a walk. Oh, she heard me.
Keep your essentials close and accessible while proudly displaying your support for WPR with this stylish accessory. Ask for yours when you give $10 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation this fall member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Sheila Shigley. The WPR programs you enjoy, they're possible thanks to your support and your contribution of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you set it at, it really makes a difference for our entire community.
A good morning includes coffee, mm-hmm. a healthy breakfast. I'll refrain from describing my particular breakfast this morning. Maybe some yoga and making your gift to WPR.
Indeed, the day is young. Support the programs that make a difference in your life at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. These are programs that may stretch your mind and your day will be off to a great start.
This hour, we have a goal of 15 gifts. Thank you. Thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, join in at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you will make WPR possible when you give.
May I suggest the WPR belt bag when you make a gift of $10 a month or more to support WPR? Stylish accessory, perfect way to carry all your essentials, and you're reminded of your support of WPR every time you use it. So ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're already a sustaining member, thank you for that. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 or $10 a month. Whatever amount you choose, you can do it at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We meet a comic book artist from Wisconsin and explore the inspiration behind his new series called Local Man and how it's being received in the indie comic book industry. Now we turn to the WPR Fall Member Drive. I'm here with Sheila Shigley, and we're here to say you count on WPR for these interesting conversations. We count on you to help keep these discussions on the air.
That is because listener support is the largest piece of the funding that makes this show and all the other content you enjoy possible. That is why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And this hour, we have a goal of 15 gifts. Your gift now is so important because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
Thank you if you've already given, and if you haven't, now is the time. You can do it easily online at WPR.org, or if you'd like somebody to walk you through it, call 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio connects you with experts, people leading their field. How many times can you just pick up the phone, talk to the editor of a magazine or a politician or the author of a book? Support this opportunity to connect with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As the donor, you get to decide how much to give. Maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend each month on takeout or entertainment, for instance, and things you enjoy that make life better, just like listening to WPR. And the important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you. You set it and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Joy.
I'm Scott.
And we're from Madison.
We became sustaining members because we do listen to it every day. We really appreciate it. We thought this is something we want to make sure continues. We are now fixed incomers, but we enjoy this station. It's one of the highlights. I couldn't imagine living anywhere without a public radio station.
Consider becoming a sustainer with a regular monthly gift. Visit WPR.org to get started now.
That's right. Give at WPR.org, or you can phone in 888-202-2552 to make your gift. This is the Fall Member Drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Sheila Shigley. Listener support. It is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on, and it's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it really has a critical impact.
At WPR, you get to choose how much you give. A contribution of any amount makes a big difference. So here are some suggestions. Maybe it's the same amount you pay for your monthly streaming service or all those fun little add-on services if you like the British shows. Whatever you're into monthly, maybe it's cable.
Oh, yes. Or that daily cup of coffee, which, like WPR, is probably something you really like and appreciate. So give now. You choose the amount. Your gift makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our goal, again, is 15 gifts this hour. This goal is important. It's set to make sure we have the funding we need for all of the programs you love and rely on. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're shining a spotlight on this new WPR belt bag or fanny pack or crossbody bag, whatever you prefer to call that little gadget around the waist, is a perfect way to carry your essentials. And you can show off your support for WPR. So ask for yours when you give $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And now is a fantastic time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up these convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card, your choice. Get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I heard from Lori in Monona who says, my life just isn't complete without WPR. Lori, thank you so much for your support. And you can join Lori, make your gift. It absolutely is powerful. It completes life with WPR. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new comic book series with ties to Wisconsin. It's called Local Man, and superhero action comes to a fictional small town called Farmington, Wisconsin. You can be part of this comic book conversation. Call in with a question, share thoughts anytime, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Tim Seeley is here, co-creator, writer, and artist of the comic book Local Man, published by Image Comics, a native of Ringle, a town near Wausau, I should add. Tim, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Local Man starts with Jack Xavier returning to this small Wisconsin town where he grew up after being kicked off the superhero team, third gen, and he starts investigating the murder of this villain, the Hodag, which we know is named after the mythological beast of Rhinelander. So why set the story in a fictional town but also include many references to real things in Wisconsin?
I felt like that I had not seen a superhero story set in rural Wisconsin before, and it's obviously something I have a lot of experience with. And I've always kind of noticed that, you know, when you put in details that relate to people, they just sound more honest, and I think the characters inhabit a world that seems more real. But we made it fictional because we didn't want the town is kind of terrible in a lot of ways. It's kind of a town in which all the major industry is fled and. It's kind of just holding on by a string, and it's somewhat corrupt as well. So we didn't want to call out a real place. So we made up a fake place that's kind of a combination of a bunch of different ideas that it feels like a town, but it's also like worse than any real town.
So can you give us, you know, example of what is rural crime noir? How does this fit that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of like good genres that are films that have been made in the genre, I guess would be like Fargo or something.
Sure.
The idea, I think, and I love those kind of stories, is to sort of show these things that people associate with cities. You know, the noir genre almost always takes place in Los Angeles or you know, or New York or Chicago. And a lot of those elements there, I think they play really interestingly in a small town. It's more intimate. Everybody knows what you're doing. There's nowhere to escape. And I did a previous series called Revival, which was also set in Wisconsin, but in my hometown of Wausau. And so this one, I wanted to try a different genre. That one was more of a supernatural horror story. And this one, I dug back into my childhood and pulled out lots of these 90s superhero ideas and set them in my a town that felt very much like someplace I grew up.
So 90s superhero ideas. Like, what is a day in the life like for these superheroes in Local Man?
Well, I mean, he comes from this team called Third Gen, and they're based on, in the early 90s, they started making superhero comics pretty much exclusively for 13-year-old boys. And those comics tend to have this very distinct aesthetic, which they are really aggressive and they are really brightly colored and they are often like sexy, but only for 13-year-old boys and for no one else. But they were full of creative energy and they were full of life. So I like them, but I also hate them. So I kind of wanted to tell a story with these kind of characters. And one of my things that we sort of observe in the book is that 90s superheroes were like not that concerned with saving the day. They were sort of more concerned with beating stuff up or, you know, looking cool. Like that was sort of the main motivation for that era of superhero comics. So we kind of make fun of it. Our character comes from a team of which most of the time he had no idea what it was they were doing. He was just running around, you know, beating up bad guys and not really understanding how this helped anyone. But all of them kind of just went through it because it was a way to be powerful and cool and famous.
So a theme of Local Man is people leaving their hometown to pursue those bigger dreams, bigger opportunities. And when problems arise, they return home feeling a bit like failures. Why did you want to explore that experience, that theme?
Honestly, because it's kind of my nightmare. I grew up in Ringgold. It's a lovely town, a great place. But there was nothing for me. I'm a creative, I guess, by trade, and there's obviously not a lot of jobs for people like me in places like that. So I had to leave to do anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think a big part of it was when you leave your town to justify it for yourself, you kind of have to feel like, you know, that you're angry and you're sort of punk about it. And then you tell everyone, like, I'm going to go do this. And that's why I'm leaving. And, you know, I'm leaving my family and my high school girlfriend and all these sort of things. And then if you go and try to do those things and you fail, it's sort of like you're admitting that, you know, even though the other parts of the world had something for you, you couldn't take it. And I think, you know, just for me, it's just sort of this in the back of my head nagging fear that, you know, I'd have to crawl back and be like, you know, sit at the bar and Ringgold and admit like, yeah, I couldn't hack it. And,
well, Ringgold's calling you now and saying, look, Tim, we've got robust broadband here. You can work remotely and do all the creative right. things you want.
Well, I mean,
they've got the speech ready.
Right. I mean, and that's the thing now, you know, that is possible since the pandemic. But, you know, it's also sort of a thing of like, as much as I loved being in those places and having left, like now I can't go back. You know, like I'm a different person. I've lived in Chicago for 20 some years. And, you know, it's just sort of the difference of what you become. And maybe, and we kind of play with that in the book too, is just, you know, Jack is not the same guy. He's lived a different life. And I think he struggles to relate, you know, especially to his parents and to the people he used to know. I mean, they all hate him too, which I hope wouldn't be the problem when I went home. But that's a big part of our story.
We're in conversation with Tim Seeley, comic book writer and artist, co-creator of the comic book Local Man, which is set in Wisconsin, small town Wisconsin, fictional. You can join in with your questions and comments along the way, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Tim, individual monthly issues of Local Man are flip books. One side of the issue is illustrated by your co-creator, Tony Fleeks. Other side is you, your illustrations. How do you and Tony collaborate on the writing and the artwork?
So the cool thing about comics is they're very collaborative just in general. You know, comics kind of, because they come out so quickly, very often there's one person writing, one person drawing, one person coloring. But in our case, we are both cartoonists. We both draw and write. So we thought it would be interesting if we both did the book and sort of, you know, both wrote the story and both drew on it. And the decision we sort of made was that Tony had a style that would fit the modern day much better than me. So he would draw the bits that took place where, you know, it happened now. And anything that was a flashback would be me. And I also have a very useless superpower, which is I can sort of mimic any other comic book artist. So part of it is I draw like other artists from the era of which the story takes place in those sort of flashback moments. So Tony has to do all the really hard work and I just do the fun stuff.
How do you craft these flashbacks or these, you know, backstories on characters you've known in a creative sense for like a long time? How do you think up those, you know, stories that are way back for the character?
Well, one of the things we want to do is that every flipbook story it gives you some amount of information for the current story. So you know, we play it like a mystery and the flashbacks at first may seem like they're not related. But as you unfold this big mystery, that you start to see, oh, here's all the things that of that story that were important, a little bit of clue that I didn't know was a clue. You know, just trying really to make it very engaging for the reader. I think, you know, a big part of the strength of comics is how much engagement is inherent in it. You have to fill in that gutter in between those panels with your own version of what happened. And so if we kind of manipulate that, we can really make this fun for the reader to sort of dig into it and imply their own story. And so that's kind of how we, you know, we figure out what we need to tell you and what's most important, but also what you'll have fun digging for.
Tim, you've been at this a long time. How can an aspiring comic book writer or artist find an audience for their work?
I mean, it's much easier now than it was when I was a kid. And when I was a kid, you had to go to the local copy shop, which I used to do, and spend your Burger King money on copies and then go to a comic convention and drop them around and hope somebody looks at it. I used to like leave them in the bathroom at comic conventions, hoping someone would take them. Now you have the internet. So if you're an aspiring comic book creator, put them on the internet. You can use your own platform, your own website. There's a great website called Webtoons that has a platform of which you can just load your stuff up. Obviously you're competing with, you know, hundreds of thousands of other cartoonists, but from around the world, but it's much easier now to get your story out. It's just much harder to find a passionate audience with so much competition.
Yeah, but just step one is put yourself out there with your artists, your artistry,
yep,
your work. Yeah.
One of the things I when I talk to people, I teach at school, so a lot of kids are sort of like, well, I don't want someone to steal my idea, in which I always say, if it's good and people steal it, it means you did a good job. So you want to be out, you know, keeping it in your head, it helps no one but, you know, and not you at all. So getting it out there, I think, is more important than anything.
So looking at Local Man, published by Image Comics, the marketplace, third largest direct market comic book publisher behind Marvel and DC, 11% thereabouts market share. Image only publishes creator-owned comic books. How important to you is retaining that creative control and the publishing rights to your creations?
I mean, for me, it's everything. Image debuted in 1992 when I was 15 years old, and the notion that, you know, and it was in revolutionary sort of at the time, was that the creators would be their own bosses. They would do what they wanted. As long as Image decided they liked the book, they would support it. And, you know, it's a rare thing in creative fields for the creator to be able to have the ownership of their characters and make those decisions. And it's also, you know, obviously everything for Marvel and DC, everything you make up for them is theirs now. And if they put it in a movie, you know, 15 years later, I mean, they might pay you, but they might not. And so much of this is just it's the spirit of Image that's so important to me, that this exists and it's we need to cherish it. And so I try to really make everything I do with them is just absolutely best I can, and respectful and really thankful.
Mm. Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Tim Seeley, co-creator, writer, and artist for the comic book Local Man, published by Image Comics. Portfolio includes working on mainstream comics, including G.I. Joe and Nightwing. Grew up in Ringle, as we talked about, lives in Chicago, teaches illustration at Columbia College. You can follow a link to view cover art and pages from Local Man, issue number one. It's at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're with us for The Morning Show, and it's the Fall Member Drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent with Sheila Shigley. Here at WPR, listener contributions, they are the largest source of funding for us, and your gift keeps the programs that you value, including The Morning Show, on the air. So make your contribution now. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
When 15 people join in, we'll meet that goal. These hourly goals are set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs you love and value. So make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We discussed here, in our last segment, how cool is it that our morning lineup includes a Wisconsin-connected comic book artist, you know, inspired by his roots here and making waves in the indie comic book world. Where else can you chat with a comic book artist as part of your morning lineup? I mean, it's here, right? These are the kinds of surprising and, you know, sometimes unconventional conversations you can count on from Wisconsin Public Radio.
I think I've never even heard the phrase local comic book artist. I mean, it's so cool. Everyone should do this.
Yes.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes these fun, informative topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And this member drive, ask for your new WPR belt bag. It's stylish black bag, white design, and it is the perfect way to keep your essentials close at hand. And also, you can proudly display your support for WPR programs. So ask for yours when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I think it's an investment in your own brain. I mean, I'm a retired person now, and as you get older, you do realize you need to keep your brain flexible. And even when I was younger, it's good to keep your brain flexible. And investing in public radio, in Wisconsin Public Radio, really helps me to keep my brain up to date and gives me different ideas and different viewpoints. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for a better life.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation now. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Sheila Shigley. Your support during this fall member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose to set it at, that is the right amount.
Let's say you hear three things a day that you're really glad you were exposed to on WPR. If you paid a dime for each one of those, that would work out to about $10 a month. Make a gift of $10 a month right now, or whatever amount is right for you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know, Wisconsin Public Radio listeners become WPR contributors for a wide variety of reasons. Giving to WPR is one way to make a difference and to help your local community.
Your contribution today not only pays for the programs you listen to, it also gives others the chance to discover WPR. So make that difference with a gift of $100 or $10 a month, whatever amount is right for you. You can do it online at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
And this hour, we have a goal of 15 gifts. And thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, join in now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make WPR possible when you give.
ask for your WPR belt bag, your fanny pack, your crossbody bag, whatever you choose to call it. You can ask for it when you make a gift of $10 a month or more in support of WPR programs. It's stylish, it's the perfect way to carry your essentials, and you'll be reminded of your support for WPR every time you use it. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.